Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Happy to have you this Saturday afternoon. Always a blast to be here with you all. Co-host Joe here doing the show today, though you might have Jane Silk next week. We'll see. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. And boy, oh boy, are they such fine supporters, because if it weren't for them, this show wouldn't exist, because this show has been with the Main Street Radio Network for its entire, almost 10 years of existence now. And this despite clients sometimes objecting to content, even management sometimes disagreeing with what's on the program. So we want to give them a big thanks, go to their website, take a look at them. And we can also, you can find them on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network or Twitter at Main Street Radio. However, the Silk or Joe Show is on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, for our own little social media page dedicated entirely to this show, but also when either myself or Jane Silk guest hosts for Alan Nathan or any other programs. Usually it's just me guest hosting for Alan, though. Anyway, got a lot to talk about today. Got guests lined up for the rest of the program. However, in this segment, and some items I want to get to that's happened earlier this week, so we'll do a sort of headline potluck thing as I bounce between some headlines here. As you all might have been aware, if not, then it's a good thing I'm saying this. We had Adam Schiff, the congressman from California. He got censured earlier this week. I don't really think that holds any power when the House of Representatives censures you. And I'm trying to say it, pronounce it that way, because it's not, they're not censoring, they're censuring. I think I'm doing a little too hard on the SH sound in that, though. But the point is, they did vote to do that to him because of all the times he lied, and how the Durham report revealed how Adam Schiff was pretty much lying this entire time, because there never was all this evidence that he claimed, yet he used his position as a congressman with access to sensitive information to get on talk shows, make himself popular, etc., really abused his power based on just outright lying to the public. So congratulations, Congress, you did something right. Now, I didn't really expect this to happen either, because for those of you who may have been paying attention in previous weeks, the Republicans tried to do this before, but it didn't pass. Something was changed, and then now it passed through, and he is officially censured. And of course, Democrats were not too happy about that. They prefer that liars go unpunished. Otherwise, then Democrats will just be out of the job. So, congratulations, Republicans. You did something there. Good. Great. Too bad you didn't kick him out. Anyway, though, other items that went on this week. You had Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State. He went over to visit China, I guess, to say that we support you, we love you guys, we support a one China policy, we support reuniting Taiwan with China, just do it peacefully. But then Joe Biden comes out, you know, after all this bowing, and says that China's ran by a dictator. So it just totally undermined everything his diplomat went out to do. Now, me personally, I don't mind that Joe Biden did that, but I'm pretty sure that is not the foreign policy that this administration wanted to set. They've been pretty well bowing before China, although Joe Biden in his first year of office did kind of give the game away back in 2021 when he said he has to pretend not to like China, even though that is just a thing that politicians have to do. Despite China's genocides and all of that, he has to pretend that he doesn't like them, and it's just cultural norms that differentiate us. And that's what he said about the genocides and all that going on in China. He said it was just a different cultural norm, and he has to pretend to be angry about it, otherwise Americans would lose support. But Americans just don't understand that genocide is a cultural norm over there, and that's why he's not doing anything about it. That's why he doesn't really hate China. So, you know, perhaps since he gave the game away 2 years ago, China doesn't actually care that he is undermining everything that he sent his Secretary of State over to do recently. Now, another item that Alan has been pretty hard on is this whole LGBTQIA plus alphabet mafia group. And I talked about them on the Al and Nathan show, and I guest hosted for him earlier this week. Interesting clip, though, that shows how intersectionality blows up in your face. If we could have clip one, please.
Well, I'll tell you are out to lunch. If you think it's acceptable to not show up because you think that there's some pride activities going on at school, but meanwhile, all of those kids who are, involved in, say, the Gay Straight Alliance or whatever, I don't even know if we have that anymore in our school, they're here when we did Ramadan, and they're showing respect in the class for your religion. It goes two ways. If you want to be respected for who you are, if you don't want to suffer prejudice for your religion, then you better give it back to people who are different from you. That's how it works. And it isn't like that in all countries. As I told you, in Uganda, literally, they think you're gay, they will execute you. If you believe that kind of thing, then you don't belong here. Because that is not what Canada believes. We believe in freedom. We believe that people can marry whomever they want. That is in the law. And if you don't think that should be the law, you can't be Canadian. You don't belong here, and I mean it.
That is very interesting, unhinged rant by a left-wing teacher in Edmonton, Canada, against a Muslim student. Now, the background for this, as gleaned from the clip, apparently they had some sort of pride event at the school, and a Muslim student said, "Hey, this isn't for me. I'm not going to be there for it. I don't really support pride." And the teacher got really pissed off because, well, we believe in freedom, so it's mandatory that you support everything we tell you to support. And she notes how that all the gay kids supported his religion, so why isn't he supporting them? And completely denying the possibility of choice in the matter. Okay, they chose to support him. Great, great job. I didn't really ask for it, didn't really want it, don't really care. But she got mad when he didn't reciprocate, as if he's supposed to reciprocate, even though she claims it's a free society. Well, if it's a free society, you have the freedom not to reciprocate. But that is lost upon that teacher, apparently. And this is, like I said, intersectionality colliding and exploding, because the whole idea of intersectionality was all these different oppressed groups are banding together to fight the evil white cis-hetero Christian normative people, whatever word soup that they put together to describe straight white Christians. Anyway, straight white Christian conservatives, let me be clear on that. Anyway, so at this point, though, we see that the LGBTQ and Muslim groups are, even though in prior years they've been getting along, sort of, there's conflict there because they are fundamentally opposed to each other's existence. And intersectionality doesn't really, it's trying to unite gas and oil, gas and fire, pretty much. So it's not going to end well. And it isn't just at this isolated event in Canada. This is just the best sound clip that we have on it, which I think it's pretty awesome too. You have the it's a great microcosm of what's going on, with dumbfounded activist teachers confused that Muslims aren't supporting the homosexual kids like the homosexual kids supported the Muslim kids, and not understanding that intersectionality isn't really practical when you have two opposed ideologies going on, just thinking that they all should be united because they're all left-wing groups, and if you support one, you have to support them all, and somehow freedom means mandatory actions as well. So mandatory support for different causes. And also just that whole pretty much saying go back where you came from. That was pretty brilliant because, we were told that conservatives were racist if they ever said that to someone based on their ethnicity. But here you have left-wing activists saying pretty much go back where you came from to a Muslim student. So, but again, this isn't the only place that this sort of thing is happening. Actually, there's a city in Michigan, or sorry, Minnesota, where the Muslim city council, voted in by liberals, oh, we're so proud, the first all-Muslim city council in America or whatever. And what do? They vote to ban pride flags in their city limits. And The Guardian, kind of a, I guess it's a UK-based outlet, although I think they have a English affiliate over here. They published an article that's talking about how Democrats, left-wingers are feeling betrayed by this Islamic City Council for banning the pride flags. Meanwhile, conservatives who have been warning about Sharia and all of that, such as on this program that we've had on, John Guindolo, for example, were just sitting there saying, yeah, this is exactly what they were going to do. We told you, you called us Islamophobic for it. But here they are doing it, and now you're dumbfounded that they would dare turn against you all for helping them. Come on. We expected this sort of thing, really, because it's in their ideology. But Democrats didn't. They just assumed, again, because of intersectionality, that lens that they view the world through, that all these, anyone who isn't a straight white male Christian conservative is united against them and can get along. It's only straight white male Christian conservatives that are causing division. But now they're getting a dose of reality with Muslims banning pride flags, Muslims skipping out on pride events, Muslim parents complaining and protesting against LGBTQ agenda in the schools. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
This report is sponsored by Office Depot. At Office Depot, teachers mean the world to us for all of their support, guidance, smiles, and tears. For the early morning extra help sessions, late night paper grading, and everything in between, their desire to create brighter futures and make the world a better place is inspiring. To thank teachers this Teacher Appreciation Week and beyond, teachers with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership can get a special coupon for 30% back in bonus rewards on qualifying in-store purchases, including classroom supplies, arts and crafts, cleaning supplies, and more. Now through July 1st, visit officedepot.com/education to learn more. And thanks to the generosity of Office Depot and Office Max customers, the company raised over $2.1 million to support teachers, students, and Title I schools last year. The in-store school supply drive was recently enhanced, and this year will help hundreds of additional Title I schools nationwide. Visit officedepot.com or a local Office Depot or Office Max store to learn more.
Spring is here. Time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are still waiting for our current guest to come on, but segueing into this topic from the last one isn't going to be that much of a problem, because the White House, they announced a new initiative earlier this month to counter an alleged surge of hate crimes against the LGBTQIA2+ community, but it doesn't seem like that there is really a surge going on at all. Despite them issuing a quote-unquote fact sheet, there appear to be no facts behind it. Joining us now to talk about this is John Schwepp. He is president and executive director at American Principles Project. John Schwepp, happy to have you on. How are you today?
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
All right, happy to have you. So what do you make of the White House's fact sheet saying that there's a rise in violence against the transgender community?
It might be a surprise to the listeners to hear that the White House is trafficking in lies, but they are. And, you know, this is something that they like to run out, that there's this, you know, enormous, all sorts of, you know, awful violence taking place against the transgender community. The reality is that, you know, there's been something like 11 homicides this year. And, you know, they're also covering up the reality that there's been LGBTQ violence against conservatives, against Christians. You know, you have the shooting that took place in, at the school by in Nashville. You have another incident that involved the burning of an Ohio church that was planning to host an event. So you have all of these issues. And the reality is the White House is just doing everything they can to cover up the fact that 75-80% of Americans strongly disagree with their idea of pushing this transgender stuff, pushing sex changes on kids. It's not popular, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen this a lot in the activist groups, that they believe there actually is a genocide, outright genocide against trans kids. You know, you see Trans Lives Matter, and, you know, that's not the case at all. In fact, you know, usually the murder rate against trans people is half of that against straight people, or normal, well, cisgendered people, for lack of a better term. So, and this propaganda from the White House doesn't help with that narrative at all. It doesn't help shed light and bring these people into the realm of reality. It just pushes them even more into their narrative.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what they're trying to do here is, you know, create justification for, you know, passing legislation and doing all sorts of special things to create special civil rights protections for transgenders. And that, you know, it's all based on falsehood. The reality is that, you know, transgender people are not victimized at a higher rate than, you know, folks in the rest of society. The thing that unfortunately is true is that the LGBT community is violent compared to the rest of the population, and continues to see violence as an acceptable means to an end to go after their critics and the people who would oppose their agenda. So, you know, I think we have to push back against the White House, but the best way to do that is to really just get to the heart of these issues of what they're advocating for. They want men competing in women's sports. That is just absolutely insane. They want to push puberty blockers on 8-year-olds and cross-sex hormones on 12, 13-year-olds. And, you know, these life-altering surgeries on 15-year-olds. We just got to say no to all of that, and Republicans would be wise to make that one of their top campaign messages going forward.
Right, and it's not an erasure of the trans group or a genocide against them. It's just a countermeasure to the propaganda that they're spreading and the outright dangerous medical lies that are being spread, you know, about the puberty blockers, for example, being reversible, having no side effects, just like hitting an on and off switch, you know, crazy stuff like that, or the detransition process is no problem at all if you decide to change your mind later. It actually is. It's a huge one. And also the idea, again, that we were discussing of just how much violence there is against the community when there isn't, when, as you mentioned, the reverse is true. And as far as that goes, and the government getting in on covering up, it reminds me of what happened with the abortion activists last year. You had pro-life groups getting firebombed and like 100 attacks against a pro-life group in a year, contrasted with 100 attacks against abortion groups over a decade. And what does the government do? It labels the pro-life groups as the terrorists, as opposed to the pro-abortion guys who were doing the considerably higher volume of attacking. And this, again, just seems to be a diversion, as far as the LGBT groups go, against of diversion from their violence by painting the other side as the violent ones.
Well, I think that's a very astute point. And, you know, it's a classic case of psychological projection, right? And people do it all the time. And look, you know, this is a strategy for them. But I think it's important to note that it's really not working. You know, ultimately, even when the left pushes these ideas that, oh, if we don't do what they want on this, you know, more transgender people will commit suicide, voters just recognize that that's, you know, exploitative, that it's emotional blackmail, and that it's actually not the case. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm seen by the trans activists as a terrible transphobe and a bigot, but I wake up every morning thinking about the health and well-being of these people and these kids. I want them to survive and to thrive. And by allowing them to go down this road of transgenderism, you know, it's locking them into all sorts of mental health issues and actually, yes, like a higher risk of suicide. So I think it's important that we push back on these narratives. And, you know, we're on the right side of history. We're going to win this thing. So we just got to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a group out there called SAVE. They've been handling statistics on this, been quoting some of their factors. Why don't you tell us a little about them?
This is a enormous coalition that continues to grow by the day. You know, I work for a group called American Principles Project, and we're, you know, one of the leading conservative groups out here in D.C., but SAVE is made up not just of national grogroups, but state groups, you know, grassroots activists. And all across the country, we're trying to push back against this transgender ideology. And we've done it through laws. We've done it through protests, you know, of Bud Light, of Target. So it's an exceptional group, and I'm really impressed with the work they've been doing, and you know, really pushing back. They not just on this issue, but on a number of issues related to Title IX, and how this administration in particular has tried to you know, weaponize that law and really, you know, impose a radical agenda on all Americans.
Well, yeah, then they just have a hearing about that the other day where Riley Gaines went up against this left-wing radical, and the exchange that I saw was the left-wing radical was talking about how, oh, men can't, when Riley, you know, to counter Riley Gaines' point about being beaten in sports by men, this left-wing radical said, oh, Serena Williams hasn't been beaten by men, so your argument is invalid, but then, you know, says that under oath in Congress, but then Riley Gaines countered by pointing out, no, actually, she got beaten by, like, the 203rd ranked man while he was smoking cigarettes and getting drunk, so... Really, the idea that male and female bodies are equivalent just got squashed right there.
Yeah, yeah. This ideology, it's actually, you know, people use the word cult, but I think it is because it's a fundamental denial of reality around them, right? Like, we understand this. You know, you can be the most elite female athlete in the world, and that means you've done an amazing job to get to that point. But if you're up against an elite male athlete, you're going to lose. That's just how biology works. There's no shame in that. But we shouldn't be putting them in that position in the first place.
John Schlepp, American Principles Project. Appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, more after this break.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin.
Yep, thank you.
Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM. So can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So, have some evidence that your Second Amendment rights are under attack, as if you needed any more at this point. There was a gun store out in Montana that seemed to specialize in AR-style weapons. And the Biden ATF and IRS agents raided the place. And what they took, though, was interesting. You know, the claim that they made to justify raiding them was that they were, that the company made millions of dollars and didn't tell anybody about it, but they didn't look for financial records. They just got all the records of people who bought guns from the store. That's it. They took the background, the form that you're supposed to fill out, the 4473 form, to that shows a transaction took place, and then they also they took they took 13 years of that, and they also copied the firearm acquisition disposition book, but they didn't, it doesn't look like they actually got any financial records from the place. So that sort of means that they were really after those millions of dollars were there. Joining us now to talk about this is Zoe Warren. He is a filmmaker, freelance video producer, documentarian, and journalist, editor-at-large for The Standard SC, owner of Piss Duo Productions, and hosts the New American Magazine program 2A for Today. Zoe Warren, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Hey, thanks. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you, but boy, this topic's rather alarming. If they can just, it sounds like they're just trying to make a gun registry out of all the stuff they confiscated.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like there's a couple of things that our government really wants to do. Number one, they want to have a chilling effect on Americans that participate in the political process, especially if they are gun owners, and they also want to justify creating regulations with the force of law, like the it often does, that will impact American citizens. And I think what they also want to do is justify Congress passing laws too, if that's possible, to the effect that they don't have to do it by skirting the law anymore. They can do it with the certification for Congress. So this is not a new thing. And so it's unfortunate for me that I'm always kind of having these phone calls under terrible circumstances. I rarely get a chance to get on a call and say, hey, guess what happened with gun rights today? But so this is not a new thing for us, right?
No, not at all. And it's kind of sad that we're seeing that our rights are being handed over to bureaucracies like this, who get to go and make rogue moves like this based on no evidence whatsoever. And I can't imagine that this company is going to have much luck in court, because the government has our taxpayer money against them, and if they get a friendly judge, well, that ball game right there. Until they appeal it, and the government can afford to drag its feet and say, "Oh, can't disclose this evidence, can't even do this for discovery," and you'll have to sue to get this evidence in discovery, and just really make the process impossible for the average person to get through.
Man, you have a very intimate knowledge of what they're doing. I mean, there are even exculpatory evidence issues being withheld in these courts as well. I mean, Brady violations galore, pre-trial motions to prevent actual evidence of witnesses from being, I mean, our U.S. attorneys, our FBI, I mean, even sometimes our judges, I've seen in cases, they will sustain motions and objections that weren't even made by the prosecution on behalf of the government. So it's really not a fair process when you have federal this, federal that, federal the other, in a federal court, that you're the lone American has to go stand against, and you can't even sometimes even speak for yourself. I've seen people get ripped off the stand, not be able to give their own testimony because they can't say the truth about what happened, because in some pretrial motion it was stricken. So I mean, we really have a kind of a progressive nightmare on our hands, and I think this is their desire. They really want to have the experts making all the policy, not us plebeians. You know, they want the patricians that they appoint to make all the policies and be able to do it expeditiously. So then not only are they experts, but they're also expeditious. They can make the policy now. They want more efficient government, but our government wasn't designed to be more efficient. It was designed in a way that would be an impediment to despotism. Despotism like we've seen in the case of the Biden ATF raiding this gun store and taking the private information of American citizens. They show this blatant disregard for federal law, and what just makes sense, in a society that's supposed to be civil and law-abiding.
I don't think there's even such thing, even the progressive dream, as efficient government. It just gets bigger and bigger. Just look at the Nazi government for an example of totalitarians who were very inefficient, except when it came to rounding up their own citizens and executing them. Same with the Soviet Union. Their government was very inefficient, but pretty good at rounding up political dissidents and throwing them into concentration camps.
And that is a great point. To your point, I concede. That's truth. There is a difficulty that we face, and it's generally that They do economic experiments and social experiments that don't work. They have to be reformed endlessly. They never accomplish the goal unless the goal is crashing the system, which I think is the goal. The goal is not necessarily to reform the system or to make the system more democratic. The goal is to subvert the system and make it into a design that they want that just gives certain aristocrats power. It's all just civil warfare, but it's done through lawfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ironic they say that Republicans and conservatives are the ones who try to overthrow democracy, but Democrats are the ones who stand for a bloated bureaucracy that no one votes for and goes unchecked. And even if you win an election, get Congress and the presidency, you still can't do anything about the bureaucracy because they have such protections baked into the system, such very strong protections. In fact, there was a Supreme Court ruling that outright said that your civil service job is sort of your property, which adds even more protections to it.
Wow. Yeah, there's a real need for us to address the cooperative federalist kind of nightmare. I think that's the desire, though, is to take, again, the elected power, put it in the hands of bureaucrats, and disconnect the citizen from having any impact on what policy is created. And by doing so, now you have a bureaucrat that is unimpeachable, a monolith. You have to unelect everybody to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. And Trump found that out during his administration, where you had the hashtag resistance coming after him, an army of bureaucrats that pledged not to implement his policies and to fight against them however they can, whether passively not implementing them, aggressively doing their own thing. And that was cheered as good. That's not overthrowing democracy to have the unelected bureaucrats fighting the elected leader. And now we're being told that it's also democracy to put in even more of these unelected bureaucrats and have them arbitrarily raid private businesses.
Man, there is lawlessness afoot. And you know, it's funny, too, that SPLC will call a mom protesting the school board for pornography being on the library shelves anti-government extremism, but not all the things we just named that the bureaucracies do on a daily basis to citizens using the force of law and threats of penalty that they can legally do. It's not just, it's not good, it's not right, it's not democratic, but legal. Mm-hmm. Because we've allowed our Congress has ceded their power to the executive branch. And this is part of the massive issue we have in America now, is that we have executive branch members making legislation. Okay, they are able to, and that's why we need things like the RAINS Act passed. It was passed in the House. There was some, but they need to do some changes to it, because you know what? All these agencies have ways to get around even some of the laws we pass, but regulations of the executive in need of scrutiny, man, that's the fact. We need the RAINS Act passed. We need at least to be microtized and put into the agencies somehow to try to roll back this infringement. I mean, they're just doing whatever they want. And then there's no, what can you do about it? I mean, if the government starts shooting at you, you just got to lay down and take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a lack of confidence about this RAINS Act, too, because, well, if the Democrats sweep the election next, then who's going to be there to enforce it? Nobody. So bureaucrats just get a stonewall everything, you know, like they did with Trump and his when he tried to declassify a bunch of records before he left office. They just slow walked it until he was gone.
Yeah, they outlive us. And that's the thing about the bureaucracies and the associations that kind of feed it. They provide policy, insurance, funding, training, and advocacy to our electeds that just pushes more of the cooperative federalist design into our, you know, law, into code, in order to do just that, to outlive our electeds. Even if we are able to get someone elected who's not beholden to the executive office of the president or any of the Administrative Procedure Act nonsense that we're dealing with, we still have a group of people that will outlive those electeds. And so we have a lot of work to do to turn this ship around. I think it's really important that the kind of things that we just saw happen with the ATF, that, you know, we make sure that we don't let those voices get put out. Like, obviously, when things are hot, we want to tell everybody. But then when it becomes old news, nobody's thinking about it anymore. I really think we need to take those testimonies. We need to bring them to Congress. We need to help people that are doing that. Like, we're in D.C. right now with people who have been essentially experienced the weaponization of the federal government, trying to get their voices heard. We just sat down. I just left the meeting with Senator Mike Lee. I'm standing out in the Senate, you know, like the park that's in the middle, on this phone call, because we need to make sure their voices are not only heard, but they're put on public record. We need to give these senators and congressmen that are with us that want to make change, we need to give them the testimonies they need that will be able to pull on the heartstrings to make our electeds do what's right, at least temporarily, so we can try to turn this thing around. Because if we can get some policies in place that are solid, that are not able to be used against us later, then we can make some change in America.
All right, so Warren, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. And again, listeners, he's a filmmaker, documentarian, journalist, editor-at-large for the Standard SC, owner of Pistuo Productions, and hosts the New American Magazine program, 2A for Today. We have more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
June is National Dairy Month, and it's time to talk about the dairy aisle, an essential stop for most grocery shoppers. Chef Jamie Gwen has more.
The dairy aisle has always been an American staple, stocking essentials like milk, butter, and cheese. Alternative dairy items like creamers and almond, coconut, and soy milk are popular too.
A recent survey conducted by the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association reveals that more than half of U.S. adults say they buy both dairy and non-dairy products. Millennials buy the most non-dairy items, with 3 out of 5 buying non-dairy items each trip to the store.
Products from the dairy aisle take up half the space in the majority of U.S. refrigerators. The dairy aisle is becoming the go-to place for new items. 65% of parents with kids under the age of 17 say they're willing to try something new.
To celebrate National Dairy Month, visit EasyHomeMeals.com to enter to win a $10,000 sweepstakes and view simple, unique, family-friendly recipes.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard?
Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour while we await our current guest. I will go over two items that have just popped up in my news feed here right in front of me. For example, authors of the Cleveland Clinic's groundbreaking study released another finding which contradicts CDC narrative. I'm just quoting the headline here. Those not up to date on COVID-19 vaccination had a lower risk of COVID-19 than those up to date on it. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Now, is that because people not getting vaccinated are willingly isolating, locking themselves down? Or is it because people who are vaccinated are taking more risks, perhaps? Or is it because the vaccine doesn't actually do what is advertised and was just a scam all along? I'm a little curious about which one it is myself, because I know people who... I've seen their dating profiles, mind you. I am single. But where they will say that they are still acting like that the pandemic is going on. I mean, but to them, it's not acting. It's real. To them, the pandemic is still going on. And, they're going around masked up. They're on their, 20th vaccination by now. And they don't get within 6 feet of anybody in public. They stay locked down for most of the time. Pretty much they've gone insane. But I'm wondering if it's obviously people like that, maybe they're not going to catch COVID. So perhaps it's just the bold ones who believed all the nonsense that if you get vaccinated, you can't get COVID. That's what we were told 2 years ago. That is what we were told. And you were banned from social media and might even get a call from the government. If you mentioned that the vaccines have side effects and are not as... advertised. That happened to, I forgot who it was, but it was somebody saying that a famous celebrity describing how the vaccines hurt their cousin, and Dr. Fauci called them and said, no, you're wrong. It didn't do anything to them, even though they did. So, interesting point here. Those not up to date on their COVID vaccines are at lower risk of COVID than those who are up to date. So I wonder if the unvaccinated are not at all at risk for COVID. I don't know. I haven't had COVID to my knowledge, so perhaps that's a point for the unvaccinated there. Now, speaking of stuff getting you censored on social media, Twitter, they decided that those words that I used earlier in the show, cisgender and just plain cis, are no longer are actually slurs, and you can be suspended for using those terms on Twitter. That's an interesting thing. Now, I just use those words because... the other words that you could use have kind of been deprived of their meaning. I can't say a man or woman anymore because Lord knows I get probably deplatformed for doing that if I'm referring to basic males and basic biological females. And of course, saying biological male, biological female, it's a bit more cumbersome term than cisgender because you got to say both of those if you're talking in general about humans. So... banning it is an interesting step against the LGBTQ community, but it does make sense because the way I have seen those words used, I have seen them used as slurs. Cisgender, cis-heteronormative. All of those are implying that it's wrong to be the way you were born. And I thought that was kind of the opposite message that the gay rights movement was supposed to be giving. I thought they were all about, we are born this way, so you got to tolerate us. Well... if you're born as a normal person, shouldn't you be tolerated for that? Apparently not, because they invented these slurs against you. And not only that, but it's interesting too, they've taken terms that for years meant birthing person, like woman, for example, and decided, no, that doesn't mean birthing person anymore, it means something else. So it sort of dehumanized women as well. Wonder how long it's going to be before they go for the term birthing person, though. That's going to be interesting to see when they decide that that's no longer acceptable either, and they have to, and because some trans person was offended that they're not a birthing person anymore. It's all about self-delusion in, as far as the changing of the language goes. So we'll have to see where that goes. It wouldn't surprise me if, for the sake of self-delusion, they decide the birthing person is offensive too. It's certainly offensive to women, though. It dehumanizes them. You're just a birthing person now. It puts your role in society right there. You know, the term woman, like I said, used to mean birthing person, but, you know, it sounds better than birthing person. It's a better label. It's not just putting your job description in what we call you. So, all these women feminists who complain that women are being treated as cattle and by the men, you know, just have babies and sit in the kitchen. Well, when you start calling women birthing person, that kind of undoes what feminism struggled to do. But then again, that is what the trans movement has been doing. It was a struggle for women to get it to be acceptable for women to act like men in some cases, play with men's toys as kids, dress in male-looking clothing instead of totally non-functional frilly dresses that you can't even pack into an airline seat these days. It was a real struggle for women to get to that point. But now, Johns Hopkins University declared that if you are a woman and you don't want to wear one of those impractical dresses, if you are a woman and you don't want to play with women's toys, well, guess what? You need gender transition surgery right now because you're actually a man. So that just erased feminism with the stroke of a pen right there and a surgeon's scalpel. And also the idea, again, that men can just say, I'm a woman, and now they understand not only what it is to be a woman, but they've inherited the legacy of oppression that women have against them. Well, sure, women are pretty happy about that point, too. And another narrative that actually I'm in favor of being disproven that came out of feminism was the idea that men and women are built equally somehow, that a woman physically can do everything a male can do physically. You know, I remember, 8 years ago when there was talk about putting women in combat roles and women for the draft, there were all these people saying, yes, go ahead and do it because women can do exactly what men can do, perform the exact same way, exact same standards. Didn't turn out to be the case. And, you know, we've seen that now that all these trans athletes are coming into women's sports. We've seen that narrative disproven. But that was, you know, one of the negative things of feminism that finally went by the wayside. But it was interesting to see the feminists are now having their stuff thrown right back at them with their support of the trans community. And they don't seem like they have any awareness that perhaps they were on the wrong track all along with this, with some of this stuff. And certainly these folks, how is it woke to tell a 5-year-old that because they don't form rigid gender stereotypes, they don't conform to them, they're not actually part of the gender that they were? You know, it's undoing feminism entirely. Ugh. It's again, like I was talking about in the opening segment, intersectionality, this is what happens. You get confused because you have all these conflicting things that are mutually exclusive going on in your head. No idea what the proper narrative should be, and you're offending someone no matter what you think, no matter how left you are. You're offending someone else on the left, perhaps farther left than you. Thanks. Thank you for tuning into the Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.